Good morning, everyone. Hello, insiders. Welcome back to the QS Cast. Targan and I joining you yet again for another episode. What's up, Targ?
Good morning. Good evening. Hello. Hello, everyone. As usual, Chaz and I are on some interesting times, but, you know, we do what we can. It is what it is.
Yeah,
it's 10 p.m. for me now, which is hilarious. It's like 11 a.m., I think, for you, Chaz. It's literally almost my bedtime, which is – we seem to call this out every cast, but I think it's because you and I easily have the most unique timing schedule for our program out of probably the majority of the community.
Yeah.
Definitely the financial community, but even
say
for like most of the magic podcasts, we're probably
any financial podcast, but I'm sure if you look through some most of the Magic the Gathering related podcasts, we're probably up there, if not near at the top or at the top of really weird schedules. But hey, I mean, the information's worth it. So
exactly,
our cast is worth it. So, but yeah, I really do apologize, folks. Sometimes this is just going to happen that when folks are in crazy time zones, some crazy recording times will happen. And that's us pretty much on a daily basis or on a weekly basis. So, let's just get right to it. So this is, we don't have anything crazy to talk about. This is actually going to be a fairly quick cast like last week. I think we clocked in about like 35 minutes. We'll kind of keep it around there, 35, maybe 40. But, there hasn't been anything crazy. So this is going to be more of like a normal format cast, but we are still getting a steady stream of Dominaria previews and spoilers. For the most part, they're just kind of catching us up, giving us basically the art, like the substance of what we saw in that massive, text dump in the FAQ. I think I said that, last week. So that's pretty much where they're at right now. But we are seeing some pretty interesting stuff so far. Some themes definitely developing and how that can affect us, at least in looking at this from like a financial critical lens, how that can, what we're looking at and what we think could be interesting going forward.
Yeah. And, they seem to be pretty aggressive with the whole promo thing. I know there was conversations in Discord about how, the bundle packs or something, they're giving away like two promos.
Yeah.
And then obviously they have the buyabout, they seem to be going pretty aggressive with the promo strategy. And I think that's great. I think it's super cool. I think promos are pretty interesting, and the more interesting they make them, the more upside they may have for some kind of value. So yeah. I think it's fat pack, or like bundle packs, right? You get two promos.
Yeah, it's the bundles. So in bundles, they're throwing in a random time stamp, date stamp. So these are the date stamp promos. They aren't just regular foils. I believe they're throwing in, and I could be corrected in, the chat, that's fine. One random dated promo foil and one legendary dated promo foil in each of the bundles. So, that's pretty big. Most folks will see that, that's cool, and like kind of gloss over it, but that's a pretty big impact when you look at not only the value of the fat packs drastically increasing and like what you get for the MSRP on one of those, but from our perspective, that just kind of adds another little X factor into how we kind of look at this stuff. The good thing is they are the dated promos. I know that niche market, or the market for that, I don't think it's really that small anymore, has definitely grown over the years. I know, a while back when they were first introduced, there wasn't really like that big of a market for them, but folks have, grown to like them and even prefer them now these days in some instances. So that is something to consider going forward, because that might be we'll have to watch this, because that might just be Dominaria, or that could just be going forward. But it looks like they're pulling out all the stops for Dominaria. And for those that follow that type of stuff and collect those or like those in favor of the normal pack foils, that's something to think about. But normally, I think the pack foils do kind of beat these out more often than not. So that's not a huge thing to worry about.
Yeah, and I also
want to kind of touch on promos just for a second. Sure. They are actually buy listable. A lot of people don't realize that. Most people, you know, because they're not buy listable as foil bulk rares, right? Everybody's pretty aware you can't do that. But Miniature Market, who is a Trader Tools merchant, will buy any bulk promo for 10 cents. So they treat them like normal bulk rares. And Card Kingdom notoriously pays quarters and sometimes upwards of like 40 to 50 cents on the playable ones for a lot of really random stamp pre-release promos. So before you guys, you know, just chalk them off or don't take them in trades, you know, when you have some time, when you're doing some buy listing, just take a look at some of the promos, especially for the newer stuff. And you'd be surprised at some stuff that you thought was just complete junk, you know, buy list for a quarter and whatnot. So they actually do have some value. So I would say, you know, you can get dimes for them straight out at Miniature Market, and you can get, you know, quarters and 40 cents, 30 cents here and there for them at Card Kingdom for a lot of them. So just a point in that they aren't truly, truly junk. You know, the ones that are considered bulk, a lot of times aren't actually bulk. So just keep that in mind.
Yeah. So, you know, that is definitely something to think about. And, you know, one of the themes, I mean, I think I have an article dropping later today on the website on QS, just talking about like my impressions so far. It's one thing that we have, you know, obviously a lot of this information we had from the FAQ text document, but once you're actually starting to see like these cards and, you know, get, you know, conceptualize, you know, what these cards look like, how they, you know, framed, and I you know, obviously you read a saga card on a text document and you're like, oh, okay, you know, this is pretty cool. But then you see the card and how it was formatted. We're getting a lot of you know, themes from this, and we talked about this, that it's kind of like in so many different directions in the Magic you know, all corners of the Magic realm here. But these saga cards and like these legendary cards, and more importantly the saga stuff that I wanted to focus on, they're really interesting. I know a lot of folks have been talking about this, you know, what it's spoiler season, but these definitely go beyond a little bit because they're formatted differently. Some folks like it, you know, others may not, you know, be lukewarm to it. But when you look at the cards, I mean, these can, there's always something in one of these sets that kind of are builder rounds in terms of a more casual setting. You know, just looking back on a few of the sets before this, you know, you had like the Scorpion God, you know, people were buying stuff for Commander and whatnot to build around this card. Then you had cards like Hapatra. Those just kind of sprung to mind really quickly. I'm sure there were others, Rashmi, you know, stuff like that. But it feels like the saga stuff might actually spawn like their own archetypes. Now, I don't know if there's, you know, there's not like a general or a commander that we've seen so far that's like, hey, look, this is like the build around thing. Maybe, you know, I might have glanced over it in the FAQ, you know, tech stuff, but I think that's definitely an area that we should look at more because there's a lot of inexpensive stuff. You know, we looked at the reoccurrence of like the legendary stuff, but that's already kind of been looked at and whatnot. I mean, how much higher can like foil Captain Sisse go? I mean, they're going for like crazy amounts already. That's definitely another subject and area that I think we can talk about more. And I did have that because that was kind of my like the cards that I wanted to discuss for this week in particular. I had a few that I wanted to at least look at and kind of call for this week. Seth, you know, better known as Saffron Olive, my friend, talked about this back on March 19th. He had an article talking about sagas more in depth. I would, you know, kind of urge you to go look at that. I think that was kind of like release and haven't heard a lot of buzz about it, but kind of looked through on some pretty interesting stuff. One of notably was like Starfield of Nyx was a card that I looked at and has been increasing for the past couple weeks, which is probably why I probably can narrow down the reason to that. But I do like sagas a lot, and I think that's they're going to show up a lot in the coming, or you know, after Dominaria, especially on like stuff like EDH Rec and stuff like that.
I totally agree with you. I think I mentioned a couple casts ago when we first saw them that, you know, I don't think these are going to get printed again anytime soon. I don't think they're going to get hit with reprints because it's so unique to this release, at least not in the short term. maybe sometime down the road we'll have some kind of reprint set that features these, but I wouldn't expect that anytime soon. I would be surprised at anything could happen, but I would be surprised if these get hit with any kind of reprint anytime soon. So when these things, you know, not all of them are going to be considered playable at first. There's going to be a lot of them that I think are going to be considered kind of bulky. I think foils of the low value ones, kind of off, or the ones that are considered bulk, I think those are absolute pickups, just because of their unique nature. Just the art alone, I think, could drive some interesting demand with casuals. And yeah, there, some of them are just kind of like super interesting. I mean, considering this type of design was the impetus for Planeswalkers, which is what Mero said on his video with Richard Garfield. You know, they're super interesting. I mean, they're obviously not Planeswalkers, but they're super interesting. And I do. I think they're really cool. I'm personally am a fan of the art style. I think it's really cool. I think it's really unique. I like how they kind of tell a small story with that sort of that frame. So, yeah, I think they're awesome. I think you're absolutely correct, Chaz, that looking at cards that could be built around Saga with Sagas in mind is a good call. And I like buying into foils of the Sagas, even while they're in, especially while they're in standard, actually, because that's where they're going to be the cheapest. I like getting them at bargain basement lows, bulk prices. I think they're absolutely fantastic long term.
Yeah, and they do. They tell a story. The art is going to be coveted. I mean, I know folks already talking about getting prints of this stuff, and pretty much have never owned a print of Magic art like in their life. So. You know, I was just talking about to insiders over in the spoiler chat about prints being released already. I mean, Noah Bradley, I mean, just kind of knocks it out of the park yet again. You know, I'm already tempted to just load this up into my cart and just have it sent to me, because these are incredible, especially when you have them all laid out. Like each one tells a different story of, you know, the kind of the different storylines in Magic, and, you know, stories that a lot of the a good majority of Magic players have known for quite some time. So these are definitely nostalgic. They're cool. They're a new take on old themes and cards of Magic of old, new interpretations. And I think they're really fresh, and they are awesome. But yeah, you brought up, actually, I really wanted to touch on really quickly. I know it's not really super finance related, but you brought up, I think everyone should go watch that, documentary, or that, you know, sit down with Rosewater and Garfield. They're really enlightening. I really hope they have more of those, because anytime
I think they're supposed to have, like, I think it's like a three-parter or something.
Oh, okay, that's great, because anytime Garfield has been you know, involved in a major way, you know, just look at the track record. I mean, it has been a huge success. So I'm thinking that I'm already kind of stamping Dominaria is going to be a success, just because Richard Garfield was a huge part of that. And you can see that just in the interviews themselves. Like you can tell, I mean, not to, like, I love, you know, Mark Rosewater gets a lot of, I guess he gets scrutinized a lot, but he's done some good things over the years. And if nothing else, he's very energetic and hyped, and can kind of, it's infectious a little bit. But I really do wish we kind of, you know, Garfield's not a part of this a lot, so I really wanted to hear what Garfield was talking about. I mean, it was good that we got a little bit of that, but you know, I urge everyone to watch that first video, and the obviously the ones coming after that, like you said, Tarkan, but it's very enlightening.
Yeah, I thought it was really interesting, and it's rare too. He doesn't do, like, you know, tons of media, so anytime you can catch him or get something with him, it's always really, really interesting. And yeah, I mean, he's, the last time he was around of Magic was, I think, Innistrad was the last that he worked on, and you see how well that was received. So yeah, right. I think, you know, my initial thoughts of Sagas, and I think you brought up a great point in that context is everything here. My initial thought when we saw the release notes was, meh, it's okay. But now with the art and just the feel and the flavor of them, I think they're much more interesting. You know, remains to be seen what's going to be played, but I really, really like these long term. I can't stress enough that I think, especially when you get to, like, peak supply and everyone's in the hype of what's happening with Standard and Dominaria and whatnot, I think just picking these foils up, even the uncommons, just get them all. Especially the lower they are, the better. The ones that are considered super bulky, yeah, scoop them up in trades. So yeah.
Yeah, I feel like those are going to be really good buy list fodder.
Totally, absolutely. Yeah.
So that'll bring us into the, you know, the next segment, you know, where we talk about specific cards. Oh man, Tark, we need a better name for the segment. I don't, you know, picks of the week have been has been used up.
We definitely
need a better. I mean, I was even looking at the infographics, which are amazing, by the way.
How about now? It's time we can call it Chaz and Tark Make You Money. This is the Chaz and Tark Make You Money part of the cast.
The dollar signs.
This is the dollar sign part of the cast. Sure.
Cash money
records. Yeah.
Yes.
Cash.
I like that.
Cash money cast. This is cash money.
I like the cash money segment. Cash money cards. Wait,
cash
what were you
money
just saying?
Cards, cash money cast. Cash money cast.
Yeah. Cash money cast. I like that title. Hey, nice. I like the dumpster fire. icon there. Always. Y'all are always keeping us on our toes. You know. It's always something new and something funny. I love it. So the cards I wanted to look at. So enchantment themes have been like, this is not the first time the enchantment theme has come up, but I do think that sagas can be a very good driving force around them. You know, we've had stuff in the past where, you know, you look back at like Theros with Constellation and stuff like that. A lot of enchantment stuff has moved during that time. But I feel like Saga's a really good, strong push in terms of enchantment stuff. So when you look through, I mean, a lot of the normal stuff comes up. You know, Sigil of the Empty Throne, you got Starfield of Nyx, which is actually a really good card to, you know, watch because it has been trending, and it's just one of those splashy mythics that are just good on its own. You have stuff on the reserve list like Opalescence and Replenish that I don't feel like needs to be explained again. But one that usually... I don't think it's really under the radar, and I'm sure other finance stuff has talked about this, but Herald of the Pantheon is definitely one that I am going to highlight for this week because the foils are just dirt cheap. I mean, they're like $1.52, and I feel like that is just a card, especially from Magic Origins, that you should – that's probably good to just stash away at least a few of them. I wouldn't go like – super deep on them, but I think like after all said and done, and like people really like sagas and want to be picking up sagas and, you know, building around enchantments and stuff, especially if there's like a commander that's like, hey, boom, like here's something for enchantments in this set. If there is one already, I apologize, just let me know, but I definitely like Herald of the Pantheon foil over non-foil, because just the foils are so cheap. The other one that I wanted to talk about before I let Tark talk here, I feel like I talked a lot this cast already, but Daxos the Returned. I feel like a lot of these, you know, it did, I think it's either, did it get the Commander Anthology treatment already? If not, I think it's up to be a candidate for the new Commander Anthology treatment, which is kind of unfortunate, but I do like this one. We saw...
No, it's just in 2015. That's
it. Okay, good. So we saw another card that would also be up for candidacy, I believe, for the Commander Anthology 2. And I talked about this card a while back, the Ghost Council card. I forget which one it is. It's the Commander one.
Ghost Council or whatever?
No, but it's just the one. Man, what is it? It's the 2-mana card. I talked about it. I should remember this.
Can't recall.
It's the Commander card. It's the they're both in the same they're actually both in the same Commander set. Something of the Ghost Council. Oh god, I can't remember. But anyway, yeah, Daxos the Return, hovering around $1. I think that's pretty cheap for a card like this.
I mean, it's
now the thing is though, it's you're limited to black and white, which is not super awesome, but there's already a couple really cool sagas in black and white already. Karlov, there we go. Thank you, chat. Thank you. Karlov, yes.
With the
that's
guy on it.
Huge, huge increase from when I talked about it. So I think it's up to like $10 to $12 already. I think at $1, this is a pretty good pickup.
I like that one a lot, Chaz. And it actually, it's not super meaningful, but it has started seeing to kind of tick up a little bit. I think that's really good. And you could get hit with a reprint, another commander, something. But it hasn't happened yet, so yeah.
And my final one, it is not on the reserve, but pretty much might as well be. I saw this tick up on the stocks over the last week or so. I don't know what the deal is, but it is an old card. It is from Antiquity, so that pretty much That's all really. That's yep. like pretty much the only explanation. I like Titania's song. It is a green card. I love green cards, but that card is really old and actually pretty powerful. So those are my three for this week. And what do you know? It's an enchantment. I am just I'm on there today. Titania's song is an enchantment.
What do, what do you know? And it's cheap. It's like $2. I mean, it's got some reprints, but you know, it's still quite low. Yeah, it's in revised.
Oh no. Yeah, oh, it's fourth edition. What, fifth edition? Oh no.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they look. Yeah, but that white border art's cool. But that white border is just killing it. Killing
that. You can't compare it.
Yeah, I would stick with the antiquities one. Yeah, for sure.
Cool.
Yep. So I'm done. Go ahead.
All right. So just a couple notes. Looks like Noble Hierarch is on its way to $100. Last I checked, it was sitting around $82, pushing $85. So that's on its way. And like I said, with no reprint in the master sets, it's pretty much, you know, I think it's easily going to hit $100 within 3 to 6 months, if not sooner. Also, we have Mirror Universe, which was my next big one. I was calling $500, and that one has seen movement up into about the $300 range now. So I think that one is on track as well. So those are my two big ones that I've been kind of targeting as for high dollar movement. My picks this week are a little different. I'm focusing particularly on foils and casual foils. I have four foils. Well, one semi-competitive casual foil, but most of these are mostly casual. The first one is Shrieking Affliction from Return to Ravnica. It's played in 8-rack, but it's also just a really fun kind of discard enchantment. It is an enchantment, Chaz, since you're on the enchantment roll. I like it because it's also a single black to play. Really cool. Dirt cheap. I mean, it's around $2 to $3 for the foil, and there's not a lot of them left that are under $4. So I'm thinking this could easily hit $5 to $6. I see two pages of sellers on TCG Player. So Shrieking Affliction, foils. Next foil is Null Mage Shepherd, which is an uncommon from Ravnica. Green. And it's the card that allows you to tap four untapped creatures to destroy an artifact or enchantment. Played in tons of elves decks in EDH. I think there's about 2,000 EDH decks that's played in elf decks in particular. This one is almost non-existent, particularly on TCG Player. There's only there's one at under $250, and the rest are – there's two other copies at $4 and $5. So this one could easily disappear soon and get a nice bump, I would say. My target on this one is about $7 in foil, or double up to $8. I think that's perfectly reasonable. It's old, hasn't been reprinted. Kitchen table favorite, elves, can't beat it. So, Null Mage Shepherd. My next one is Sunscorched Regent from Dragons of Tarkir. This is really popular in EDH. It's about 3,800 EDH decks that it's played in. Foils are sitting really low. They're about $1.50, and there's not a ton of sellers, again, on TCG Player. I'm seeing three pages and only, about three pages of sellers, all at $2 or less around that. So this is easily $4. This is going to end up a $4 foil minimum. Dragon. Plays around with counters, gives you life for counters, played a ton of EDH, so I really like this one. And my last one in foil is going to be Vengeful Dead from Scourge. It is a common. Not sure if that's relevant in Pauper. It might be if there's zombie decks running around, but this card allows you to... this card says that whenever it or another zombie is put in a graveyard from play, each opponent loses a life. Obviously, tons of play in EDH and casual, and might see Pauper play. I'm not sure if there's a zombie Pauper deck running around, but also very few copies on TCG Player under $4. This saw a nice bump on interest. I think it went up like 12% market. So I like this. This is one I could also see at around $7 or $8. So nothing crazy as far as like super high end, but just a handful of foils that I think have a lot of upside. And Noble Hierarch, like I said. About $100, so.
And Mirror Universe is hitting that mark that you said a while back too. It's definitely on its way.
It's not there yet,
but it's on its way.
It's on its way. I was surprised to see.
As crazy as that sounded at the time.
Yeah. I was surprised to see that Eureka is now about $350. I mean, that could actually end up hitting $500 before even Mirror Universe does. I'm not going to make that my reserve list pick because that one's been kind of growing. That one's been in the public eye and growing for a while. So I would just say keep your eye on it. But good old Mirror Universe might be my next, might end up being my next Juzom. I don't know. That's it. That was my, those were my picks for this week.
Yeah, real quick, Tark, I know you kind of stayed on a specific theme for this week. You talked to me offcast about it. Why specifically were you on that? Just so they know.
With the commons and uncommons? Yeah.
That was a really good point, and I wanted you to bring it up.
Yeah. So I was calling out foils, but I was looking at commons and uncommons because this is very important for you guys to think about. When you're looking at playable commons and uncommons that – They see play, but they don't have any real buy list value. Be sure to check the pricing history, the buy list pricing history for these cards, because what I find happening is the big guns like Card Kingdom, Troll and Toad's notorious for this, as is Card Kingdom. They will take a playable common and they will buy it for 40 cents. And then they'll get hit with a flood of, they'll buy a flood of like 150 cards. They'll get a bunch in and then they'll drop the price back down to a dime, and it'll be a dime for maybe a month or two. Then it goes back up to 40 cents. So a lot of times these playable commons that seem like they have no buy list value actually do have a history of buy list value. So it's very important that when you're looking at quote unquote bulk commons and uncommons that are bulk as far as pricing, especially buy list price, because a lot of these cards you're not going to end up listing on TCG Player, right? Like these are the kind of cards that it's hard to justify the fees to charge a TCG retail or an online retail fee. So you buy list them, right? And you're going through and you're like, well, this is all junk that buy list for maybe 10 cents. Well, definitely do some research because a lot of these cards, Vengeful Dead in particular, there was another one, I can't remember, it was a green one. It was like Mercadian Mass, one green, one other. It allows you to reveal, oh gosh, you can play it for free essentially. It allows you to fetch it for us. Not Invigorate, no, not the
Land Grant?
I think it's Land Grant or something like that, but it's a green and other. Anyways, just super playable, right? Like, you're like, yeah, this is...
Yeah, it's Land Grant.
Great. And buy list for 40 cents at Card Kingdom, and you was like, wait, what? It does? It had been nothing. It had been sitting at 10 cents for the longest time. So just make sure you look at these playable common and uncommons that are traditionally bulk and just check their pricing history. Just do a little bit of research and you'll be surprised that you can sometimes get quarters, 50 cents out of these cards that you never thought you could. So really important just to make sure people are aware of that. And you can just stack that, take credit for it, and then boom, you just turn junk into small treasure. So
yeah.
That kind of prompted me to look at commons and uncommons, and then I got really interested in some of these foils. So yeah.
Yeah. I know we normally, just really quickly before we wrap things up, it's going to be, we're on the mark here. We don't want to take up too much more time. We got to kind of get out of here. But we normally kind of give commentary on each one of the cards that we choose each week. I really like Null Mage Shepherd because it is pretty popular in the format, in those formats that you mentioned. And while the foil has steadily increased, the non-foil has pretty much stayed the same, but it's like around 50 cents that could easily move up into the couple of dollar range just from first of all not ever being reprinted despite being pretty popular. And it is from Ravnica, but that is definitely one that can, you're not going to make like crazy amounts, but if you got a stack of them and you're like buy listing these at like 80 cents in a couple months, I mean that's huge, especially if you're scooping these up like locally, or if you have a way to get these like in mass at like the 30 cent, range or 25 cents, and you're just picking these up and you're buy listing these close to a dollar. I mean, that's huge. Land Grant is also in belt. Yeah. So Land Grant, I think you were just making a, using an example, but something like Null Mage Shepherd, I really like. I don't know about the region. I think it has a couple reprints, but I also like the first one that you said before. Shrieking Affliction is just one of those cards that is very popular. Its price graph on its normal copies has done nothing but increase since it was released. So that's a good indication. And the foils are still – so like the normal copies are like 75, getting close to a buck, and the foil copies are like under $4. Around there, so that's like the gap is kind of closing on those two versions, so I really like that. But yeah, yeah, Shrieking Affliction is very strong. I like that one as well. So yeah.
All right. So yeah. So pop. So for Guillaume Papu, quick.
Yeah. Oh yeah. My, so
four foils. Foils in particular, I'm calling out Shrieking Affliction foil, Null Mage, Null Mage Shepherd foil, Sunscorch Regent foil, and Vengeful Dead foil. That's me this week.
Regent. Okay, I'll get these. All right, yeah, and for me, this is for Guillaume too. I am on Titania's Song, specifically Antiquities. I got Herald of the Pantheon, Origins, that is going to be foil. And I talked about, what was the other one? Daxos the Returned, that is from Commander. And also, definitely keep an eye on Starfield of Nyx. That one's going to, I think that one's just going to continue to move. And that's going to probably be non foil and foil. No, Karlov was just they're both in the same commander pack. I couldn't remember the name. But that one also saw a pretty big increase, despite being the fact that I think they're both up for being reprinted in Commander Anthology. But I think they can both increase. Well, Daxos can increase beforehand because Karlov definitely did. So I don't think being reprinted in Commander Anthology really matters because those don't really temper the prices of those cards all too much. And if anything, if they're printed in foil, it actually helps the card. All right, Tark, that is going to wrap it up for this week. Folks, thanks for joining us. I know this like crazy schedule. I know we're going to keep saying that, but I really do appreciate everyone joining us. Where can they find you, Tark?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at @_Tark. Obviously I'm on QS Cast and doing work with QS all the time. I also help the guys out over at the MTG Finance Central Facebook page. You can chat with me there as well. That's it.
Yep. You can find my work on Quiet Speculation every week. And the best place to find me is the QS Insider Discord. All right, that's going to wrap it up, folks. We will see you next week. Enjoy the weekend and we'll see you soon.
Take care. Happy Easter for those who are celebrating.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. There's all Passover right. too, right?
Is it Passover? Yeah, there is.
So, yes. So happy, you know, if you celebrate those, enjoy yourselves. We will be back next week. Take care, everyone.
See ya.